What's going on, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson.
Welcome to Miss Inda Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson fan podcast. The very first podcast dedicated to the original idol, Kelly Clarkson. Here are your hosts, Jeremy and Pam.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Miss Inda Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson fan podcast. My name is Pam.
And I'm Jeremy. We are so excited to have you guys along for the ride this week.
And before we get to today's episode, we want to go back to last week's episode and give you an update on our results for our second song battle.
Yes, the second song battle where Pam and I put our favorite songs up against one another. And this is really all I want to talk about because once again, I got waxed in the song battle.
I mean, I'm just saying I won both song battles and I won the fantasy draft. And I don't think it's anything about you. I think it says something about me. No,
nobody wants
the awesome. No, I'm totally kidding.
Nobody wants the old guy to win.
No, that's not it.
Pity on me.
I just chose some really damn good songs.
You did. I mean, look, when your My December song was Maybe. I mean, how do you pick against that? I mean,
exactly. Unless it's Sober. But again, we said,
yeah,
no one's allowed to do that because that's basically an automatic win.
Yeah. I thought I would get one. I thought I'd get one song.
You know what? I thought Tightrope and Dance With Me was going to be a lot closer because I know a lot of people are like obsessed with Dance With Me. I really thought that was going to be like somewhat of a closer like margin.
Yeah.
I was shocked about that one.
That one, I thought that one I had a chance just because you didn't specify that you were going to kind of put forward the live version of Tightrope, which I know
I
more people love.
Both, so it you was a little vague. It was a little vague.
I thought maybe people would be like, well, unless she specifically means the live version, I'm going to go with Dance With Me. But yeah,
I think some people did. I saw on Twitter, I did see a couple tweets about that. Yeah. They were like, if Pam had specified the live version, I would have gone with that. I did see a few of those. So yeah. I think you got some votes with that because I was kind of vague.
Well, and I did see a couple of Team Jeremy's out there, which I was like, hey, look, I have people behind me, but just not enough, unfortunately. So yes, Pam did a clean sweep of all three songs in our song battle from last week. So congratulations. You are a better picker and fighter of songs than I am.
I'm just going to say maybe third time's the charm for you. We'll have to see for our third song battle, whenever that is.
You know what? I'm just going to pick the big hits next time.
Yeah. Since you've been gone.
Yes. And you have to pick bonus tracks.
I have to pick Judas.
Yes. I'm going to automatically handicap you and tilt the scales to my favor. So well done, Pam. Excellent job picking songs in our second song battle. I'm going to get you next time.
We'll see.
This week, we are talking about a very taboo subject in the world of not only Kelly Clarkson, but also in music in general. It's sort of a dark period of music. And it was actually a point when the music industry itself really changed, and that is leaks, and more leaks. There was a period of time where you really could not get an album before it was scheduled to be released. And Kelly was definitely a victim of this as well as were hundreds of other musicians. And so today we're going to be talking about how the leaks happened, who else it happened to. And also we're going to be straight up about the fact that we have heard a lot of the songs that were leaked out, you know, and it's going on 15 years now with some of these songs. And we're going to talk about some of the ones that we really enjoyed, some of the ones that we kind of wished were fleshed out and turned more into full releases, and maybe even some of the more curious and strange demos and leaks that were made available.
And I'm not sure if this is on your list, but I also kind of wanted to talk. I have a couple on my list that weren't necessarily leaks, but they were songs that Kelly had written and maybe performed live, but we never actually heard either a demo, a leak, or we never heard it on a physical album. So
absolutely.
I have a bunch of those as well, because I know I mean, if you scoured YouTube, you're going to find a ton of songs by her that either were released without her permission or that were just live stuff that no one really talks about anymore. So we're going to bring that back to life for, you know, the next however long this episode is.
And we should also probably just make it well known right off the bat. We're not going to be telling about links or download areas that you can find these songs. Most of you are pretty savvy. If you're able to find yourself a Kelly Clarkson podcast, you're probably going to be savvy enough to find where you can get these particular songs. And we're going to leave it at that. We're not sharing any particular downloads or anything. So we're more just talking about it from a purely journalistic standpoint to sort of talk about this period of history in Kelly's career and honestly, many other artists' careers. So Pam, when we were sort of researching about this particular episode, I ended up going down a really long rabbit hole when it came to the leaking sort of period of time in music. And really, leaks in the music industry are not new. They've been happening for decades, but it really wasn't until the kind of the early to mid 90s before they really became prevalent. And I want to say right off the top, before I forget about this, if leaks in music is something that you might find kind of interesting, I have a really, really awesome book that you guys have got to either read or find on audiobook. It's called How Music Got Free. It's by a guy named Stephen Witt, and it's a fascinating book because it sort of tells two separate stories at the same time. The first story it tells is about the researchers who created the MP3 format. Ooh. They talk about how the MP3 itself was made because they were trying to find better ways to stream audio and to share audio rather than the very large files that you would get in like a WAV file or some of the other formats. The other half of the book tells the story of a guy who worked at a warehouse in North Carolina, and it was a warehouse that was in charge of pressing and was a distribution center for albums and CDs all over the country.
Nice.
And it tells the story about how he started stealing copies of albums and then uploading them online. And he became one of the biggest sources of pirated music in the country. Whoa. And in pretty much in the world. And it is a really, really interesting book. Again, it's called How Music Got Free. It's by Stephen Witt. And if you are a music fan, if you are fascinated by the whole concept of music leaks and all that kind of thing, you really have to read this book because the two stories do intertwine, because without the MP3, this other guy doesn't have the ability to get these songs out into the world. And so they sort of intertwine the two stories and they keep going back and forth with the stories. And I was so excited when I saw the book and was writing down some of the information about it for the podcast that now I want to go back and reread the book because it was just so interesting. So I highly recommend that if you are into learning more about leaks and whatnot. And I remember the first time I got a leaked song. I think it was back in like 2000, maybe 1999. And this was the early days of Napster. Did you ever have Napster, Pam?
I had Napster. I feel like I used like more like I was more of like a LimeWire kind of thing. I mean, they're like one and the same. But yeah, Napster. I think I used it a tiny bit, but I was pretty young. But I definitely like LimeWire was my shtick. You know, I killed my industry, but as did millions of other people. You know, I'm not the only person. Like how I mentioned, I had back in 2003 before I actually bought Thankful. I like downloaded from LimeWire like a version of Miss Independent, and like it kept going. Like they kept repeating the chorus, and there was no like bridge and final. It was just a terrible. But that's how I thought that the song went for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
I don't remember the exact first song that I ever got the leak for, but yes, I was a big Napster user. I used LimeWire. There was another service called Audio Galaxy that you could easily get a lot of these songs. And I worked at a radio station and I felt bad getting, you know, these leaked songs, even as late as the mid 2000s, we were still getting serviced copies of albums from artists weeks in advance. I've mentioned before that when I first got the Breakaway album, I got it in, I want to say, the first or second week of November of 2004, and it didn't come out until after Thanksgiving. In fact, it almost, I think it was like November 30th or something that it came out, just off the top of my head. So I had that album a couple of weeks in advance. And even then, this was 2004, and this is, I don't want to say it was the height of when leaks were happening, but it was definitely the beginnings of the big wave that record labels were still sending out copies of albums to various sources early before they were on the streets. And so it's sort of no wonder that a lot of these albums leaked out a lot earlier than they were intended. I also remember the story of Fiona Apple's album Extraordinary Machine. That was another one of those weird stories of an album leaking out early, because the album was recorded in 2003. The label didn't, and this was Sony, they really didn't feel that there was anything marketable on the album. And so they shelved it and they weren't really going to release it. And I think it was about late 2004, maybe early 2005, when the album itself leaked out. And they still didn't put the album out. There was just versions of these songs out there. Fiona goes back into the studio, re-records nearly the entire album, and then puts it out in October of 2005, I believe.
Huh, I didn't know that.
So, yeah, and so there are several different versions of the songs from that record out there. There's the first pressing of the album, or the first version of the album, and then there's the actual commercially released version. And there are fans that go back and forth with which versions they like better. And then there's also the story of Dave Matthews Band, where they had an album called Busted Stuff, and it was originally recorded with the producer Steve Lillywhite, who was a very well recognized and respected producer. He had worked with Alanis Morissette and a bunch of other people, and they scrapped the entire version of that album that they did with Steve Lillywhite, and they did a whole new version of the album. And shortly before, I think it was either shortly before or shortly after they put out the commercially released version, the entirety of the Steve Lillywhite version of that album leaked out. And so it's famously known in the Dave Matthews community as the Lillywhite Sessions. And it's the exact same album, just sounds, you know, a lot different because the songs aren't mastered and they don't sound as polished as the final album does. But so there are, I mean, those are just a couple of examples of tons and tons and tons of songs and albums that ended up getting leaked out. And again, like we said, Kelly was no stranger to this. I think Breakaway, well, yes, Thankful and Breakaway both had their share of leaks, but they weren't nearly as publicized as it was until the My December album leaked out. And I don't remember the exact timeline of when that album leaked, but I mean, it was several weeks prior to the release of the record, if I'm remembering correctly.
I have no recollection about timeline either. I will say, though, that this wasn't a leak, but I got the CD like a solid like 4 or 5 days before it came out. And like, I was like a teenager. I was in high school. Like, I was not like anyone working at like a station or a label. Like, my local music store just like had it out for sale, like almost a week beforehand, which was just that you would never find that now, ever. I did not leak it because I have no idea how to do that.
Well, and there were so many different places that people could go. And I can say these places now because they don't exist anymore, but there was a website called cdleaks.com. I mean, they weren't even trying to hide what they were doing. And then there were various blogs all over the internet where you could start to find it. And all it took was one or two people from a fan's community to find these blogs. And then next thing you know, they're posting the links on message boards. And, you know, the Express was a big place where the leaks started to come out. And I still remember the day that the majority of My December leaked out, because I was useless at work that day, because I remember it was a work day. I remember exactly where I was sitting, everything, and just following the threads and people reacting to the different songs and being excited about certain things. There was even a Twitter feed. It's still there, but it's been dormant for years. It's a Twitter feed, Did It Leak? And it would keep track of albums and when they leaked and when they were supposed to come out. And I even scrolled all the way back to 2009 And this is when All I Ever Wanted was preparing to come out. All I Ever Wanted leaked out February 20th of 2009.
Oh my gosh.
It was released on March 6th, commercially, officially.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so All I Ever Wanted was sort of the next Kelly album that also got leaked out. Now, when we're talking about these leaks, we're talking about the albums proper. We're talking about the actual albums that ended up being commercially available. On top of that, and this is more about what our episode is about today, we're talking more about the demos and some of the other things that Kelly and her producers really did not want to have released. But again, we are better than 10 years removed from all of these things happening. They're still readily available out there, either for stream or download, depending on where you go. And so we kind of feel like the statute of limitations has sort of passed when it comes to this kind of stuff. I mean
would you
most
say that? Of them I feel like leaked. Well, going back to the albums, I feel like the reason why I'm a little fuzzy on the details with my December and All I Ever Wanted about when they leaked is because, like, back in the day, like, I was like one of those people, like, I didn't want to listen to anything. Even when Stronger, I wouldn't listen to it unless I had the physical copy, like, on hand. I was like, yeah, a weird, like, ritual thing. So I definitely didn't listen to the leaks. That's why I'm like, I don't know about timelines. But anyway, going back, yeah, I feel like a lot of these were like, the demos and everything, those leaked, like, I remember specifically the summer of 2011 was like the last like big chunk of time when things were leaking. Mm-hmm. And that was a decade ago. So yeah, I feel like it's been a minute, and I guess we can talk about it now. I don't know.
To give you guys a little bit of the behind the scenes with the podcast, Pam and I, you know, sort of hemmed and hawed of whether we actually wanted to even do this episode, just because it does feel a bit taboo to be talking about this kind of stuff, because in effect, we are, as fans, admitting that we contributed to the downloading and listening to songs that were incomplete, songs that were never intended to be heard by the public. And, you know, because you never go up to an artist and be like, oh my gosh, I listened to this leak of a song of yours. Like, yeah, you just never say that.
No.
You know, it kind of feels weird to admit it out loud. I mean, of course you would admit it to your friends because, you know, who cares? But, you know, when you're speaking about an artist, you would never admit to them that you, in some way, shape, or form, potentially took money out of their pockets.
Yeah.
And so, there is still a guilt factor for me.
For sure. I still feel a little weird doing this, but we're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still feel bad because at the same time, I as a fan still went out and bought every single one of these records, and in some cases, multiple copies.
I was going to say, if you've listened to our earlier episodes, you know we have like every version of every album possible. So yes, we definitely want to support the profit, you know, we want her to make money.
Yeah. And maybe it was part of my feeling like I had to pay for what I had listened to early, because I remember specifically both the My December album and the All I Ever Wanted album. When those came out those days, I went to whatever record store or whatever place that was selling the albums, and I bought like 10 copies. And I gave them out to friends. I gave them out to people who I thought otherwise would not buy that album, because this is when I was at my absolute apex peak of Kelly fandom, where I was so drowning in the Kool-Aid that I was trying to make as many new fans as I could. So, you know, the My December record comes out, I go and I buy a whole bunch of copies, and I get grief from the cashier at, you know, Target or wherever it was I bought them. I was like, wow, you must really like this singer. Yes. And so I feel like I maybe made up a little bit for listening to leaks early by purchasing copy on top of copy on top of copy of those albums. Not that it still makes it right, but I just feel like that's what made me able to sleep at night.
Spending $200 at Target on Kelly Clarkson CDs.
Yes. So what we want to talk about today is we want to talk about some of our favorites that came out from these leaks, either early leaks of songs or demo versions of songs that would either never really see the light of day or maybe go on to be songs from other artists. And I also, and I mentioned this earlier, I also want to talk about a few of the more interesting, maybe we're even going to call them weird songs that I'm almost glad didn't see the light of day.
Yeah, I think I have a few on my list that would fall into that category.
Pam, do you want to start or you want me to start with a couple of favorites?
I'll let you start.
Okay, I'll do a couple here. The first one that I have on my list is I really loved the demo version of Ready that leaked out prior to the release of All I Ever Wanted. And I think that this song was remarkable in the sense that we were all very interested as to whether this song was going to be released as it was. Not necessarily the recording quality, but more the lyrical quality, because this was the first song that we heard Kelly swear in a song.
Oh, that's right.
Because she has the line, "All of this shit."
Yes.
And ultimately, that line got changed for the version that came out on All I Ever Wanted. And I think a lot of people were actually a little disappointed when they heard the final version. But what's really funny, and I only just remembered this story, is it was on the All I Ever Wanted tour, and Kelly sings Ready on that tour, and she's singing the song at the show that we're at, and she gets to that line where she had changed it for the album version, and the amount of people in the crowd who sang "All of that shit," it was so loud. She caught it. She heard it and she acknowledged it.
Oh no.
Like, she smiled and laughed because she knew what we were doing.
Oh,
she
good.
Knew what we were saying. She knew it was like our way of winking at her. And then she sort of winked back at us, figuratively, of course. But it was very funny to see that happen in concert. And it was almost that way of a cross section of the crowd saying, "We heard this early. We liked this version and we're going to scream it back at you." And her acknowledging that she knows what they heard.
I thought she was going to be like annoyed that we like had heard that version, but I like that she was. That's good. That makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, she took it very well. She was a professional about it. And it was, I mean, it was more funny actually to all of us, because I'll admit I was one of the people that joined in. It was funny because she acknowledged it and and I don't know if that made us all feel like, okay, this was okay.
Yeah.
We were okay with doing this. We are forgiven because she didn't just throw the mic down and stop the concert and be like, "Screw you all. You listen to my stuff early."
Because you don't know how she would react. I mean, or how most
really
artists
don't.
Would react.
And I would have thought if you would have put me in a corner, I would have said, you know what? She's probably just going to ignore it. She's not going to say anything. But it was the fact that she laughed that made it sort of a fun moment for that particular concert. And it's so funny because I had forgotten about that entire story up until the point when I started talking about Ready and that one particular line. So yes, I do still really like the demo version of Ready. I do also very much like the version from All I Ever Wanted. Another one that I really do like is a demo that came out called Whoever Did That Wasn't Me.
Yes. I feel like with a lot of these demos, I'm like, I know the title. I can't think what it sounds like off the top of my head, but go ahead.
I believe this one was recorded for the sessions for Stronger. And I do believe this is also one that never actually saw the light of day afterwards. So we don't know if, you know, somebody else maybe ended up recording this song or whatever happened to it. All we know is that there is a demo version that Kelly did out there. And I thought it was, you know, an interesting song. I actually really liked it. There's not a whole lot else to say about it because, you know, there's no history of the song. It's just sort of, this was a song that was among the leaks and then it was out there.
Should I
How about
next?
You, Pam? What are some of the ones you got?
So one of the ones I think is it's a fan favorite. And I think, we first heard it live years ago. And I feel like the leaked demo didn't come out until years later. But you may need to tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
I chose Don't.
Yeah. That was on my list too.
Yeah. So that, but that was like during the Thankful era that she performed it live, right? Wasn't it like the independent tour maybe?
Yeah, I think you're right. That, I mean, look, that's pretty much the first bootleg, really.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I think that's one of the reasons why it is loved like it is because it was the first time we heard an unreleased song in concert. And we were all just absolutely certain it was going to be on the next album.
Yeah.
And then when it didn't show up on the Breakaway album and then it didn't show up on My December, it sort of got this lore around it. There was sort of just this weird aura around this song because it was a song that she was singing in concert and yet it never saw the light of day.
Yeah. So again, I don't remember when the demo came out, but I feel like the actual track, like, but it wasn't immediately. I think it was more in recent years that it came out, right?
Yeah. The demo didn't show up until years and years later.
Yeah.
We do know that the demo version of the song or the rough edit of the song was recorded for the Breakaway sessions and just nothing ever became of it. It just wasn't chosen for the record. But yeah, that did not show up until years and years later. In fact, that may have been the last. It's funny. It's almost like it came full circle.
It was like
Don't was probably the. Yeah. Like Don't was the first sort of bootleg. Cause I don't want to call it a leak because it was a song that somebody recorded at a concert. Somebody had a relatively decent copy of it and it got shared all over the place. That's a bootleg. But Don't, the demo, I think was probably the last demo song of hers that I downloaded.
Yeah, it probably was it was less than 10 years ago. Like, I think it was more recent than that.
Oh, for sure.
I'd say maybe maybe like 5 or 6, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so good. I know the live version's definitely out there, like very easily accessible on YouTube. It's always mm-hmm. just been like a fan favorite. Another one that I chose was one that like I'm kind of happy didn't make an album. It was Tell Me a Lie, which she recorded as a demo for, and then One Direction ended up using it on one of their albums. And I, you know, it's a really fun song of hers. And, I really enjoy the chorus. So that's why it's on my list. But I will say I'm kind of happy that it didn't make an album because it's just, I'm glad it didn't make an album as is. I feel like it wouldn't need more to it. But I think.
Really?
Why did you think it should have made it an album?
I definitely think it should have made an album. In fact, this song was on my list.
I like it. I just think it. I think it maybe needed more, but I love the chorus. I think it's super fun and super catchy, and I'm glad it didn't go to waste. Like, I'm glad someone put it out. I will say that because it's a great song.
Yeah, but I think that the One Direction version is much worse than Kelly's.
I agree. But I'm glad someone did something with it.
Yeah, that's not me being a homer because, you know, doesn't matter who recorded it. Kelly's is better. I mean, that's not me being that guy. I'm saying that if you listen to Kelly's version, because even sonically and instrumentally, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Kelly's version is superior. And I actually like when this song comes up in my library and I listen to it and I still know the song and know the lyrics. I actually really, really like this song. I know that because, look, I mean, when you get a demo version, it's either because
there are multiple stages.
Right. We're sort of lumping a lot of these songs under the same heading of demos, but that's not necessarily what all of these are. I mean, it's a distinct possibility that Kelly was going to record this song for an album. It is also possible that she simply made a demo for it. Now, the difference is that you can have demos that artists are using to sort of give to producers and say, here's a song that I'm thinking of doing. Help me flesh this song out. And then there are producers or writers who come to artists and say, hey, I've got this song. I don't know if it's necessarily right for you, but I need someone to lay it down. I need someone to sing it so that I can shop it to other artists. Mm-hmm. So in the case of Tell Me a Lie, Kelly actually has a writing credit on this particular song. And this was recorded around the time that they were recording songs for Stronger. And it could very well have been that she decided, okay, this song doesn't fit with how the album is sounding. And so it maybe got, you know, offered up to another artist, you know, another artist like One Direction probably was given this song and said, okay, you're going to record this. Or, you know, it could have been shopped around to lots of other people. I mean, there's endless amounts of stories of major hit songs that were passed around different artists before it landed with somebody else. And, you know, the who could have possibly.
Since You've Been Gone is a prime example of that.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I see you and I disagree on Tell Me a Lie. I mean, I think Kelly's version is very good.
I like it. And I like Kelly's.
I'm not saying you don't. Yeah, I'm not saying you don't. I think that it's a rough version of the song.
Yeah.
I didn't particularly care for the version that One Direction put out. Again, nothing against them. I just didn't like how it ended up coming together. I think that a kind of a grittier version of what Kelly did would have sounded really, really good. Mm-hmm. Probably, again, wouldn't have fit the sound of the Stronger record or any record after that. But I still would have liked to have heard a more finished, polished version.
I think if we heard it a little bit differently, I think I would have been like, all right, put it on an album, do it. So,
yeah.
All right. Of course, I'm sure you definitely have more. What are some more that you have?
Yeah. another one that I have is Getaway. Do you know this one?
I do. It's a good
one. This one's an interesting one, and I almost included it in my weird category because it is a very interesting song. I don't know, again, if this is a song that is more of a rough version of a song that they were thinking about fleshing out, because it was, I mean, this is a Jason Halbert, Jimmy Messer, and Kelly collaboration. So they were definitely working on this song. They were working on it for the Breakaway album. So it's not like they were, you know, putting this together for somebody else. I think they just maybe couldn't find the right. I don't know. They couldn't find the right sound for this particular song
because off.
It is a little weird because it starts out very like synth pop and then it kind of makes a rock turn in the middle of it. And then it kind of tries to marry the two together. And it's a strange combination. Again, it could have just been what they were trying to lay down for the demo version of the song, but there's something about it that I do really like, and I enjoy the lyrics. I think that the music is really good. I think it needed a lot of polish, but there's something there that I really kind of latched onto.
Yeah. I will admit though, that's definitely one that I never listened to.
Yeah.
It's been a minute, but I think it has a lot of potential. Not that we'll probably ever hear it in a different form, but one can hope.
Yeah. Like I said before, I also had Don't and Tell Me a Lie. Those were sort of the next two that were on my list that we've already talked about. Another one that I have is a song that Kelly wrote with Corey Churko, and it's called Call Me.
What a good one.
Gets me in my feels. Now, doing the research about this particular song, we know it was recorded somewhere in between the All I Ever Wanted and Stronger eras. Sort of there's like an area where it was being worked on. And supposedly, it was going to be on a country project that Kelly was working on. And obviously Corey has an immense country background. So who better to work in her inner circle on a song for a country record than with Corey? And this song actually sounds pretty far down the line of production. I mean, it does not sound like a polished, finished, mastered version, but it does sound a little further past the demo stage where they definitely had some pieces together of this. And there's some other songs like that Kelly has put out or not. I shouldn't say put out. She hasn't put them out. They were released. They were leaked out. So this one is definitely one of the ones that I do enjoy whenever I hear it.
Yeah. Another one on my list is probably my absolute favorite that had ever got leaked. And I would pay so much money to see this live. It's never going to happen. It is the song called, you know, it has two titles. So I've seen both titles go around, but I'm going to call it the one that I know, which is Love in These Eyes.
Oh my God.
I love that song. So this was done supposed to be for the Breakaway album. It was written by Kelly, Cara DioGuardi, and Cliff Magnus. So that was a big breakaway team there.
Yeah.
This is another song that's, it does sound pretty much finished. It is just such a cool pop rock song. It really fits in kind of with the, a little bit with like the Hear Me kind of vibe. And mm-hmm. it just has such a powerful vocal, kind of a emo tone to it, but it's really like intense. Like, I don't want to say hard. It's not like a hard song, but it's like, it's pretty, you know, intense and a little bit of dark for like Kelly's discography, but it's so good. Oh my gosh. Like, I want to marry that song. It's so good.
Wow.
I know. I feel really deep about that. Like, I truly love it.
It's a ringing endorsement.
It is. I really love it. What's another one I can choose? I have a lot that were not necessarily leaks, but more like live unreleased. We're just going to throw that in here, those kinds of songs, because mm-hmm. I don't know. This is the unreleased episode. We'll say that. Official unreleased. Yes. I have one. You know, I don't actually know if it was ever recorded. Jeremy, you can tell me if I'm wrong. I chose You Still Won't Know What It's Like. Do you remember that? That was a song you definitely know it, but you may have forgotten about it. So back in 2010, I think, is when she debuted it live at A Night for Hope, which I wasn't at. Were you there?
No.
Okay. So long story short, for anyone who isn't aware of what A Night for Hope was, I think they had one or two of these in Nashville. It was Kelly and I think Jill and Kate, her old backup singers. They're the ones who set this up. It was like a charity concert. And then Kennedy Halbert, who was just on Kelly's talk show recently, she mm-hmm. performed. Ashley Arison performed. Shane McAnally performed. A bunch of people did. And Kate, from Jill and Kate, her family is very involved with this orphanage in Africa. And I don't remember all the details because it was over a decade ago. But I know Kelly and some of her team went down to Africa, visited the orphanage, and I think inspired this song. And it's called You Still Won't Know What It's Like. She actually brought it back on the first leg of the Stronger Tour. And she performed it live there. It's on YouTube. It's really good. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a heartbreaking song, but it's really good. And I think it was meant for an album. I think they wanted to put it out, but they never ended up doing anything with it, which made me really sad. But it's a good song.
You actually stumped me on that one. That's one that I haven't heard yet. So I'm going to have to listen to it as soon as we're done here today.
Yeah, it's really good. I recommend probably starting with the Night for Hope version, just because like that was the first time anyone had ever seen it. And then searching the Stronger Tour version. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Awesome. Good choice.
Thanks. What about you?
I'm thinking that, you know, I was thinking about which sort of era of songs that never kind of came out were some of my favorites. And I'm trying to decide between either the My December era and the All I Ever Wanted era, sort of that span of time between 2007 and 2009. And that's sort of where my next few choices go. And I'm going to start with Where Are You Now? Mm. That was a song I think that was originally intended for My December. And it was another collab between Kelly and Jimmy Messer. And it's a very nice, sweet song. It's very slow, but I like the vulnerability in Kelly's voice. And again, it's so hard to judge vocal performances when you're talking about songs that are either demo level or, you know, not full post-production level. And so you don't know what the final product is going to sound like. If I remember correctly, because it actually has been a little bit since I've listened to this song, I think this song is actually sounds a little more further down the road than just a demo.
Yeah.
But I could be completely wrong because there are so many of these songs that are swirling around in my head that I can't remember what level they sound. I know that the last two sort of favorites of mine actually sound like finished versions that just never ended up on records. But this one, yeah, there's just something about the vulnerability in her voice and the musicality of this song that I really like.
Yeah. And that's another one that I feel like I can't think of what it sounds like off the top of my head. Like, I know I've heard it, but it's not like a go-to that I listen to. So am I a bad fan? No, Pam, you're great. Thank you.
No, you're fine.
You're great. So I can't really comment on that because I don't remember what it sounds like. Whoopsie.
Yeah.
What's another one of yours?
All right. I have two left that are on my list. Both of these are, they sort of get confused as to whether they were recorded for My December or for All I Ever Wanted. But all I know is that they ended up in this sort of sweet spot that I really like. A lot of the songs that came out of these unreleased sessions, if you will. And the first one is Empty Handed. Mm. And I really, really like this song. I'm actually a little sad that it didn't end up on a record. It does sound very close to being finished. If not, I mean, again, not like a mastered copy, but it sounds pretty much done and what they would have put on an album. It's one of those very easily memorable songs that I very easily remember the lyrics. I remember the chorus, and I actually really liked the whole, just the message of the song. It was just one of those ones that I thought, man, this would have been really, really great to have on a record. So that's my next choice.
Yeah, I remember when that came out. I remember just people, that was like a fan favorite. I remember people were constantly mm-hmm. talking about that one. And it was definitely a missed opportunity. You know, with all these, I'm like, maybe one day they'll come out. But like realistically, probably not. But one could hope.
I think it's probably safe to say with a lot of these songs that they may never come out at this point. They just may be, you know, songs that if they were written by Kelly, they maybe just don't fit the world that she's in now. They don't fit her life now. And so it would be a little strange for her to maybe sing those songs. So these are likely songs, and every artist has them where they make demos of songs and nothing ever comes of them, and they just sort of fade away into the back of their minds and they never think about them again. I mean, every single artist has these. But this is definitely one of those songs that I'm actually a little sad that it was not put out on a bigger stage, because I do think that it was a really good song.
Yeah. What is your last one?
I'm gonna save that one. I'll have you do some more.
Cool. So I guess I'll pick three more as well. The first one, and I hope none of mine are your last one. If they are, then
they are. Whatever.
I'll choose something else. First one's kind of a random one. It's called Baby Blue Eyes. So it was, I guess, recorded for Thankful, and it's obviously it's her and like it's her vocals, and it's not like it doesn't sound weird. It's just like so different from a lot of stuff she's ever put out, because it is so soulful, a little jazzy. And mm-hmm. I mean, it does fit the Thankful era, but it's like the most extreme soul that you can get out of Kelly. Like, it kind of sounds like some of her old like demos, like from when she was like pre-Idol and she was doing like... Mm-hmm. It's really good. Like, the vocals are on point. It does sound like it's almost finished, if not completely finished. I don't know who wrote it, though. I have no idea who wrote it, but it's one I always forget about. And I was doing research for this, and I was like, this song slaps. This is so good. Completely different. Like, if you were to put that side by side with, like, Addicted, you're like, this is not the same artist. But... It's great.
I should maybe amend my statement from earlier that with these, the idea that a lot of these songs are never going to see the light of day. And I don't know if Kelly's going to be this kind of artist. You've seen lately in the last 5 to 10 years, artists are putting out sort of anniversary editions of albums. I mean, God, I've got a CD shelf full of original albums. And then like the 10th anniversary, Jagged Little Pill has like, I think it has a 20th anniversary edition. And then they put out a 25th anniversary edition. And each time they keep adding. Yeah. I mean, they keep adding stuff to it. And so it makes me wonder if, okay, we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of Thankful in what, 2 years? Two years?
Yeah.
Would they put out a 20th anniversary of an album who knows? I mean, it would probably be an RCA decision. It would be. Probably wouldn't even be
it
Kelly's
would be RCA.
Because they own the masters. Yeah. And if RCA and 19 were looking for a quick cash grab, they might put out a 20th anniversary of Thankful, and they might go back into the archives and pull old demos and polish them up. And Baby Blue Eyes could be that one could be that if it so was cool. a little, it could be a little further down the line that they would feel comfortable putting that out on a special edition of an album.
You're getting me really excited, and I'm not happy about it.
I know. That's the thing. It's like, there's a part of me that's like, yes, I want this. I want, you know, anniversary editions of albums. I mean, maybe if they don't do it for Thankful, for, you know, definitely for Breakaway. There should definitely be one for Breakaway just because of the massiveness of that album. But at the same time, it's like, I almost don't want them to do it because Kelly potentially I don't know how the contracts and the deals work, but since she's not with RCA anymore, she may not see a nickel of that money. Mm. You know, they may just make all this profit off of her and she doesn't see anything of it. Now, if there's writing credits and all that kind of stuff, then yes, she with publishing deals, she has to receive something. Yeah. But I think that she probably wouldn't get the same sort of financial jolt, not that she needs it, but financial jolt from it than she would if she were still with RCA. Yeah. But again, I don't put it past them to do anything. They have those masters. They can do whatever they want with them. I would probably still buy it. I would buy a remastered version of Thankful. You know, you put it out on vinyl, put it out on special edition, 2 CD set. Take my money.
RCA, if you're listening, RCA, there you go. There's an idea.
Not the worst. I'm just saying, not the worst idea in the world, but
you have two people who would buy it. Just saying.
There you go. Sales of at least two.
Yeah. And I guess I'll choose another one before my final. My next one is going to be one that I think I mentioned like one or two episodes ago. It was her collaboration with Chris Daughtry. It was called One More Yesterday. Another song that sounds like it's pretty finished. It's definitely not anything rough. It was recorded, I believe, for the Stronger era, and it was written by Chris Daughtry, Richard Marx, and Jason Wade. So
it's a nice
team. It's really good. Again, it's another one of those like pop rock songs. I think it could have done really well around 2010, 2011, given what was out at the time. Musically, I don't think it would have done well now, but I think that was a complete missed opportunity, and I really don't know why they didn't put it out on one of their albums.
Missed opportunity, unfortunately. Really was.
All right, what is your last one?
All right, my last one is, again, it's sort of was leaked out around the same time that Empty Handed leaked out, and that is After the Love.
That's a good one.
I really, really like this one. And this one is another one that sounds somewhere in between the demo and the finished phase. Kelly's vocals are a little hot, and they just don't sound like they've been properly compressed and all the things have been done. But it does sound very close to being a finished product. Good song. Again, another one of those songs that was very memorable, has a good hook to it. There's not a lot that I don't like about it other than the fact that it was never sort of officially finished, but it does sound pretty close. That was another one where, again, I thought it was originally meant to be for My December, but it might have actually been recorded more for All I Ever Wanted, or at least in between the two albums. And I don't know what it is about that particular one. Again, another one that Jimmy Messer wrote on. Dwight Baker was the other writer on that particular one. And there was also talk again that this was going to be one of those songs for a potential country project, because again, this was around that time that they were kicking that around. And I can see it, because it does. I don't know if that's a regular guitar, if maybe they got like a slide.
It sounds
going
like
on
I think
there.
It's a slide. It sounds similar.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong, they could have totally countried it up a bit more, but it's still a nice sort of mix between pop rock country that kind of toes the lines of both sides. And it's a solid song. And again, it's another one of those ones that I'm kind of sad that more people didn't get a chance to hear.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I forgot about that one. I guess my last one, I do have a couple of honorable mentions because I think I chose more than you, but
you did.
Yeah, I guess
Always the overachiever.
I'm sorry. No, it's called I Can't Decide, so I just include all of them.
Well, unfortunately, that's the problem with this particular topic is that there is a lot to choose from. Yeah. Because between My December, All I Ever Wanted, and Stronger, there was probably three albums worth of leaks. Just out, I mean, not even songs that necessarily ended up on those three albums. There was a separate, like, three albums worth of leaks that came out. And I mean, for a while there, there was like two different times when the leaks were just relentless. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just that we got like one or two songs, and we got like nine songs all at once.
Exactly. I'm going to mention just two quick honorable mentions because they were both ones that we did not get any audio for. We just heard live that were not released. So I'm just going to quickly mention those. They were both, they were both performed during the Breakaway era, probably meant for My December, possibly. The first one was Come Here, which I believe she wrote about Graham Coulton, presumably. She performed it, I guess, Breakaway Hazel Eyes tour, give or take.
Yep.
Fantastic song. I
think the one live version that everybody, the same live version that everybody has, is sort of heartbreaking because at the beginning she's like, it's probably going to be on my next record.
Yeah. And then you're like,
and we're all just like, yes. And then it never appeared. It was the don't of Come Here.
Yeah, exactly. And the other one I have was, I believe she performed it during the, I think it was the Addicted tour. It's called Anymore.
Yes. Forgot about this song.
It's a good one, and it's just angry. And as we know, I like angry music, and it kind of fit in a lot with the Breakaway, the Breakaway album, but it didn't make any album. So that was a good one. But yeah. And then I don't know if you have any comments on that. Otherwise, I'm going to reveal my last actual choice.
No, Anymore is a great song. I actually forgot that I had heard that song on the Addicted tour. But yes, excellent choice. Thanks. Well, that would have fit in just nicely with my list as well.
My actual last choice is a song that I believe leaked the same time as One More Yesterday. It's called, and same with Love in These Eyes. I think they all leaked around the same time. This is called Break the Silence. And it was supposed to be for Stronger. And I think it would have fit in really well with Stronger. Probably could have been a single. It was that good.
Wow.
She wrote,
that's bold.
It, thank you. Well, yeah, we're going to say that. it leaked in 2016, I believe. And she wrote it with Rick Robbins, who I completely forgot about. DJ Rick. During the All I Ever Wanted tour, Kelly brought a DJ out on tour with her, and his name was Rick. And he was really cool. It was a really interesting element to her show. And I guess they wrote stuff together as well. So it's one of my favorites by her. I really like it.
That's awesome. So I also picked a few songs that were sort of head scratchers.
I'm really excited. You can
maybe call them downright weird. And songs that I hope they were either just messing around in the studio, and maybe they were just spitballing some ideas and put something down as a demo, and then they just realized, that didn't really work.
I have a few as well, so I'm really excited. They're probably the same ones.
It very well could be. The first one on my list is Cleopatra.
Yes!
I remember when this song came out, so many people were confused by it because it was such a hard left turn from anything that she had done before. And I'm not saying that an artist can't do something that's a little out of character. I mean, I'm looking at you. Why would you bring me down? But this song was just so weird, like right down to its like Egyptian sounding, bass and drums. And I just thought, what in the hell is going on in this song?
And lyrically, it's like nothing she would ever sing.
Yeah, it's a weird lyric cringe.
But
ride.
I love it. I low key love it because it's so absurd. If that makes any sense.
And the funny thing is that she wrote this song. This is her song. She wrote it. And that's why it's so strange to me, because it just sounds so out of character. And I definitely put it up there with my strangest demos that came out. I mean, these are definitely demos. There was not much going on with these. And this one just was, I mean, even, and I still have a copy of the MP3 somewhere, and if it ever does come up when my playlist is shuffling, I actually skip it because I'm I'm never quite in the mood to listen to that song. Another one that is a little strange is Mrs. Right.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
This song sounds like it's trying too hard. It's very much like it's about as close as Kelly maybe ever has tried to get to like twangy country.
Okay. Because
it's very much like it has that like weird, well, not fiddle, but like it has that weird kind of, and I don't know all instrumentation, so you'll have to forgive me. But I mean, this was a country song. Like they were trying to make this sort of a fun country song. And again, this is another Kelly and Jason Halbert creation. And again, I think it was actually created and intended for this country album that she potentially was going to do. And it's the most country sounding song that I think she ever attempted. There may be others out there that we don't know about that are even more so, but this one was definitely like they got like the Wurlitzer out or whatever and you know tried to do some weirdness with it. Okay, so my next one is this.
I'm hoping it's the one. Actually, go ahead. Sorry, I'm just excited. There's one I really want to talk about, and I'm hoping it's this one.
Yeah, I have two songs left, and I wasn't sure which one. I think I might do this one because the weirdest one I'm going to save for last.
Okay.
My next one is a song that she recorded called Shit and Fame.
Yeah, I love that one.
This is a weird song. Because it's another one of those instances where it's like, not only is it out of character for Kelly to swear in her songs, but to put the swear in the title, like, Motley Crue doesn't do this.
Almost put this on my list of songs just as like ones I wanted to talk about normally, and I'm glad I didn't. But I kind of love it though.
It's out of character. It's got a lot of like attitude. I mean, it's a very like, I don't want to call it an angry song.
That's why I like it.
But it does have,
yeah.
It's not angry, but it has attitude. And I mean, it's soaking in it. But it's one of those songs that just hits my ear wrong. And I just sort of scratch my head every time I hear it. All right. Are you ready? Do you have any more on Shit and Fame or?
No, I think that's it.
Okay.
Is the last one, is it like three big, like it's like three words?
It's three words. All right. The last one is Wash, Rinse, and Repeat.
Yes.
This is by and large the weirdest song she's ever recorded.
This is a big F you to RCA.
It really is. It really is. There is a literal lyric in the song. If you have not heard this song, there is actually a lyric in the song that says, "Hi, my name is." The first time I heard that, I was crying. I was laughing so hard. I had to stop the song. I specifically remember the day that this song leaked out. It was one of those ones that leaked out with a whole bunch of others.
Yeah.
And I heard this song and I said, what the hell is this?
I love it though.
This is like Kelly and the producers are drunk and
we're just like FURCA, FU Clyde Davis.
They're drunk and they're like, you know what? Screw it. We got a studio. Let's write some nonsense and record it just for funsies. Just do it on RCA's dime or whatever. The funny thing about it is, and this is another song Kelly wrote on her own. The song actually tells a story. I mean, it's essentially saying that the label wants her to be this sort of carbon copy version of like every other pop star out there. And I mean, there's even this whole like spoken word vibe at the end of the song where it's like, this song sounds exactly like every other song that you've heard or something to that effect.
I am insane. Yes. Yeah. I low key like it, but like it's like shtick purposes, but not for an actual release.
That's the thing. I weirdly like this song because it cracks me up because it is so
absurd.
It is so freaking weird.
Like the line that says, I'll be playing God.
Yes.
What is it? I'll be playing God and
I'll be playing God and you can be my bitch.
Oh, bitch. Okay. I was like, is it shit? It's fantastic. Like, that's a fantastic line.
Welcome to the sweariest episode of Missing the Podcast yet.
Don't have your children listen.
The chorus is, I'll be playing God and you can be my bitch. The only compromise is you get to pick which of these formulas is your perfect fit. Wash, rinse, repeat. Why are you fighting it? No.
I love it.
Don't get me wrong. The chorus is fire. It's hilarious. But there is just so much weirdness in this song.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is and I'm here to run everything. I mean, hello. That is not Clive Davis.
Spreading like a cancer. I will die and take you all with me.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It is a savage song, but it's just so like out there and weird. I cannot, for the life of me, I cannot imagine that they had any intention of releasing this song.
No, and I'm so glad it's out there. I'm sorry, Kelly, if it's caused a lot of controversy, but it's really good.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is the most amazing song that you've ever heard. Anybody can do it. I mean, anybody. This song is completely different from that other song that sounds exactly the same.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, again, you know, these songs were all obviously released. I mean, if you want to say illegally, sure. They were released without permission. It's unfortunate that, I mean, because look, there were a lot of other songs that were demos of songs that ultimately ended up on actual albums. I mean, there was a demo of Be Still that was out there that actually ended up sounding pretty close to the final version of the song itself.
I mean, there was one for You Can't Win that I mentioned a few episodes ago that like the chorus actually sounds a lot better because her vocals are like, it's just, I think the chorus of the demo is a lot better.
Most of the demos, I think it was the Stronger album, most of the demos actually leaked of the actual songs from the record.
Yeah, absolutely. Which was, I had like a Stronger demo. It didn't really sound much different except it was a little slowed down. That was really about it.
Yeah, I think there's a Dark Side demo. There's a Don't Be a Girl About It demo, which is close to the final version. There's a Breaking Your Own Heart has a demo out there, I think.
There were two songs, though, that we didn't mention that I just want to give a quick shout out to. Because I wasn't sure if they were going to be on this list, even though they're not that weird. The first one is You Need to Shut Your Pretty Face. I really like that one. I think it's a great title. And I just think that was recorded for Stronger, I believe. I don't know who wrote that, but really good song. And then do you remember that the song that she did that it sampled and like it was called Ready to Go and it sampled some like 80s song? I don't know. Sing.
Yeah.
I really like it. It just didn't really fit.
Yeah, I think that's a Howard Jones sample.
Maybe. Yeah. From. Everyone's like, why does this sound familiar? And then we realized she actually kind of sampled something. But those were just two I wanted to throw out there because I had a long list, but I'm officially done.
Yeah. I mean, like
there's so many.
Did You was another demo that I really liked. I thought that was a good song. There's
Close
a song
Your
called,
Eyes.
Yeah. Drowning. Another one that's out there. Again, we're not going to tell you where to get these songs. A lot of them are on YouTube. I mean, let's be honest. And they've been on there for years. So the sort of desire to take these songs down and hide them away has sort of, I think, ended. I don't think they really care anymore that they're out there because they're not going to use them anyway. They're not going to be commercially recorded. So, I mean, look, you can, by all means, go down in your own personal rabbit hole if you don't already own these songs and seek them out. If you haven't listened to Wash, Rinse, Repeat for a while, might as well give yourself a good solid laugh and listen to that one. Otherwise, I mean, that's our episode.
Yeah.
All about demos, leaks, and unreleased, other songs that
and unreleased
never
tracks.
And unreleased.
Yeah.
Songs that were never meant to see the light of day. I feel a little like a weight has been lifted having talked a bit about it.
Either that or we just started so much and I don't know which.
Yes. And again, I cannot recommend the book How Music Got Free by Stephen Witt more. That is a fascinating look at how the mass piracy of music really got started. It's a fabulous read, and I really think you guys should pick it up. Otherwise, we would love to hear what you think about some of the songs that never were properly released. You can tell us at our various social media channels at Miss Into Podcast. You can also send us an email at missintopodcast@gmail.com.
And as always, if you are an Apple listener, please write us a review. You can rate us. Leave nice comments, make us feel happy. We need to get that algorithm boosted, as we always say. So and also just, you know, if you have any pop music fans, Kelly fans, feel free to send them our little old podcast. Any help is appreciated.
Yes. And we have been reading your comments that you've been leaving on Apple Podcasts, and they're so kind. And we really appreciate everybody who's taken a few minutes out of their day to write a review. It really does mean the world to us. And we are so thankful for our community on social media. You guys are so active, and you do a great job of responding to the craziness that we talk about. And big props to Pam, because Pam is the one who really runs our social media, and she does a fabulous job. I'm just the one who comes in every now and again and ruins it with a dumb question, or sometimes I respond to people and I feel like an idiot because I'm like, Pam does this a lot better than I do.
No, it was really funny. Last night I had actually tweeted something. I tweeted, it was after I texted you, and I was like, Jeremy, there's too many songs. And Jeremy was just like, just show up with a few songs that you like. I'm like, I can do that. But I tweeted something that I thought you might think is funny. Hold on. Twitter is loading. I wrote, I'm tweeting instead of prepping for tomorrow's episode recording, don't tell Jeremy. I told him, guys, after the fact.
That's all right. I was editing our episode that happens before this one airs. I was up editing and I literally fell asleep while I was editing.
Oh, no.
Not to say that spoke to anything about the episode. It was just, I was super tired, but I felt like I needed to get the editing done. Yeah. And so I was doing that and then just sort of started to nod off. And I'm like, oh man, I just need to go to bed. I'll finish this tomorrow.
Yeah. And shout out to Jeremy. He does all of our actual like editing the episodes. I don't do squat when it comes to that. So we all have our strengths. Yay.
In the meantime, we will talk with you guys next week. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
You've been listening to Miss Into Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson fan podcast. Miss Into Podcast was written and produced by Jeremy and Pam. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you'll be the first to know when a new podcast is posted. Continue the conversation by following the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Miss Into Podcast. Send us your questions and comments to missindypodcast@gmail.com.